Hey gang, and welcome to another episode of the Stay Hungry Podcast. And today we're going to be talking about why it's important to celebrate your wins. Let's go. Marth.
Hello.
I'm joined by you. I don't think we've ever done a podcast together.
Not me and you, no. I've done a few with Joel.
Done a few with Joel?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, bloody hell. Oh, I'm honoured. How are you then?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent.
How's your week been?
Good. Busy. Busy already. Weird, isn't it? Doing jiu-jitsu, I think, in the evenings. Which handily brings us on to the point of today's thing. Celebrating wins, because every time I step off the mats, I feel like I've accomplished something. I think it's important, personal, business-wise. What about you? I mean, you've had loads of personal wins, haven't you?
Yes. I was just thinking about that then, and I think this is a really good topic for this reason, because I was doing my wins every day, 3 wins a day, and then I fell off the horse, and now I was like, What have I done? What have I won? And Eve was like, you've brought a house. And I was like, oh, yeah. And like the first thing that came into my mind was like, oh, what's my win been? Oh, got my boiler fixed. Like, oh, no, I've got a boiler fixed. Brought a house.
Yeah, I mean, that's massive. I mean, obviously, I don't want to ask your age publicly, but you're younger than I am when I got my first house. It's amazing. And I think, well, like you say, it is easy to fall off the wagon. You can, like, be good at noting down your wins. And basically, I guess the whole point of this podcast is, when shit hits the fan, when you get a bit blue, to have like a go-to source that reminds you of some of the stuff you have accomplished, it's a really good way to gee you up. But like you say, sometimes you write it down every day in a journal or whatever, but you can fall out of that habit a bit. You've done Manchester Half Marathon?
Yeah.
And how often do you think about that when you think, I know, because obviously you're training for bloody High Rocks now, aren't you?
Yeah.
So I mean, that's massive.
I think about it a lot when I think about, oh, so did I tell you I signed up for the marathon, but I didn't get in?
Oh, no,
and I was
really?
Like, as soon as I did, I was like, I hope I don't get in. Hope I,
London or Manchester?
London.
Oh, yeah, it's a week on Sunday, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. But I was so glad that I didn't.
Why did you enter then?
I don't know, a moment of madness. But I would have done it, but...
Yeah, I bet you would have done it.
I don't know, And I see a lot of people, like, on their running journeys now, and... it was hard. It was not something that I enjoyed doing, but I committed to it and I did it, and it makes me feel like if I can run that far, like I can do what else can I do from zero to that?
It's amazing. I think with all these things now, like Couch to 5K and stuff, I think there's quite a few people out there who maybe think they can't run, or you know, think they're too old, whatever it might be. But they start a program like that, and like the way it builds you up, before you know it, it's like, oh shit, I've just run for a mile or 2 miles, 5K, and then half marathon. I mean, that's no mean feat.
I was in a boot camp the other day, and the trainer shouted this at me, and it really stuck with me. He was like, your body can do it, but your mind is just telling you you can't.
Okay.
And I think that you can flip that in terms of, like, maybe not just physical exercise, but, like, you can do... a lot of things, but most of the time your own mind stands in your way. I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not from the right area. Mm-hmm. There's somebody who knows more than me. I'm not strong enough. But all of that is just made up. It's something you're making up in your head that you don't even know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we know some people, they'll put their wins on a whiteboard in the office or whatever, maybe a photograph that takes them to a place where they won something, but or journal, of course, as you already mentioned. But I think to have that, it's crucial. We talked a bit about physical stuff, I suppose, but physical, well, what does Paul say to us? Mental health requires physical support. I think to have physical wins, to regularly do exercise that a lot of people wouldn't do, to know that shit, almost like every day, I've accomplished something that a lot of people won't be doing. That's got to put you in a better place, right?
I think so. And just to have a goal to work towards that isn't dependent on your job or your family, but mm-hmm. something that's your own goal that doesn't even have to be physical. But I think it's always important to be working towards something. I certainly noticed the difference in myself if I've got a goal that I'm working towards versus like, oh, that half marathon's done now, I'm never going to run. I'm not going to run for another week. And then you feel yourself slipping away.
Oh, massive, massive. I went on the treadmill this morning just because it's pissing down outside. But my running's nowhere near like where it was this time last year. I was doing like 20 miles and stuff. But after the marathons, it's so much pain. It slips. You do a little bit, it slips. because I've got no plan. But yeah, if I was doing this year's London Marathon, yeah, of course I would have stuck to it. But and that's why, I suppose, why, you know, our PT clients, yes, of course you can go to the gym and work out, but when you've got a PT, they will give you a program to work to, they will hold you accountable, and that makes your chance of getting the result you want much higher. Like, say, I mean, now you're, have you signed up to a High Rocks date?
No,
have you?
They keep selling out.
Oh shit, really? Is that popular?
Yeah, really popular at the moment.
Bloody hell. How much it costs then to do a High Rocks?
Not too much, like £100, I think.
Right,
like
okay.
Your entry. And actually, because I'm going to do doubles with one of my friends.
Oh, okay.
And she was like, well, there's still space in the pros. Should we just do pros? And I was like, no.
So doubles, right? Is that same amount of work, but you each do it? Or is it half the work each?
It's the same amount, but you kind of, you do get a break while the other person's like, and I think you can split it, like, depending on which style of High Rocks, you can split it between, like, you have to do this distance, but like one person could do a bit more.
Right. Bloody hell.
Yeah, so it's like station 1K, station another K, station another K.
Bloody hell. So how does the High Rocks program work then if there isn't like a competition date set?
Well, because it's like kind of like CrossFit, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
You still have classes that you can go to and like and being part of the community, but it's just, yeah, it is difficult. I mean, they're all over the world as well at the moment. Like, there's a Paris one coming up.
Is it going to take over CrossFit now then?
I think so.
Bloody hell. So how many people are in your High Rocks community?
There's like 10 regular people.
And do you get a sweat on like every time?
Yeah.
So every time you leave, you think, shit, I've done something there.
Yeah, so last week, because I hadn't been for 2 weeks, I was sick, and then I hit my foot.
What did you hit your foot?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. But like, after the first round, I was like, I can't do this. Like, I need to stop. And there was like 4 more hours left.
Did they let you? 4 hours?
4 rounds.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah, I was like, I can't do this. I need to stop. And then at the end, I was like, that was amazing. Like, I feel so good now. But like, definitely during, I was like, I'll never do this again.
So he didn't let you stop?
No, no way. I mean, my PT's like very like, he'll literally look you in the face and be like, don't be.
Well, we've mentioned accountability. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are bad coaches out there, but having someone to guide you, giving you a program, giving you support, but sometimes just giving you a fucking kick up the arse, because otherwise, yeah, like you say, it might be easy to quit. I remember when I did the fan dance, to make the cutoff halfway point, basically, I had to run the last mile to get to the halfway point, and one of the DSs came over and they said, right, you need to move it, with bloody 35 pounds on my back or whatever it was. And it's like, shit, if he hadn't run with me, would I have done it? Or maybe, but it's like, shit, having someone by your side is powerful when it comes to your wins. And I think some people, maybe, they don't get enough wins because they're on their own a bit, which we see a lot in business. You know, we've got clients that are on their own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so, haven't we? And so, you know, we can act as their support, as their guide. So what some of the client wins? Obviously, it's not just about personal wins, is it? Even if it might be a personal win in business, sometimes when you get a win for a client, that's just as good and sometimes better.
Yeah, I mean, one of our clients last month was their highest income month they've ever had. And I think they're like coming up being with us a year now. And it just goes to show, like, sometimes months can be slow, especially within their industry. Over Christmas was slow, and then suddenly back because of all the work they've put in with generating their leads earlier on in the year, they had this whole pool of people that were ready to buy at the time that was good for them.
So have you got any tricks or anything? How do you recall stuff like that? Should you be having a bad day, or maybe a campaign hasn't gone as well as you wanted? What works for you in terms of reminding yourself that, no, I know my fucking stuff?
I'm going to get back into it after this podcast. I had a daily wins on my phone because it's so easy. It's with me all the time. Journaling, I've...
Just like on a notes app, you mean?
Yeah, just on notes. So daily wins and then the date and then 3 bullet points and the 3 wins they are. Sometimes it might be clients, sometimes it might be personal, sometimes it might be a win.
But it's got to be at least 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Makes you think.
Yeah, because then you can go back and because, like, even the smallest wins sometimes are like, I said I was going to go to the gym at 6 a.m. and I've gone.
I think that's important to note, though, isn't it? So some people listening might be thinking, winning, that could be doing high rocks, doing a marathon, you know, making a client loads of money. But sometimes a win can just be a small win. It might just be a fucking slow day. So getting up when the bloody alarm goes off rather than hitting snooze, that could be a win. Write it down.
Yeah. I mean, where did I hear this? That, like, if you say, right, I'm going to the gym at 6 a.m, and you don't, you're, like, wiring in your brain that you're, like, a loser effect. Like, you're not a winner. You don't do things that you say you're going to do. You just give up. And so that, if you say you're going to do something, even just to yourself, you should do it, because otherwise you're programming yourself to be a loser.
That is good going, though, 6 o'clock at the gym.
6 a.m., yeah. Or 6 a.m. alarm. At the gym by 4:15.
Oh, shit, really? Just let you out of bed to the gym?
Yeah, it's so close, my gym.
Blimey. See, in the summer last year, I was doing the 5 a.m. club. Certainly not a member at the moment. Like, I do find it hard in the winter, like, getting up. Like, even walking the dogs through muddy fields in the rain and all that shit. It's not nice in the dark. But obviously, summer's approaching now. Things are getting lighter, so I know I'll be back to getting up at 5 and getting lots of stuff done. And that becomes like a massive win. And I've got to be honest, I don't know how people do it all the year round. I mean, maybe it'd be easier without dogs, but because they have to be walked first thing, that can actually be at some point in the winter a shit way to start the day, because you just get back and you're fucking soaked. I don't think they like it that much. But I can't wait till it gets light, because otherwise I'll be late to do other exercise, late to get to the office. But starting your day with a win is good. I know some people go to the gym in the afternoon, evening, whatever works. I do like eating those frogs, getting that stuff done, getting those wins in early, because that, I feel that just sets me up for the day.
I agree. But I also my strongest work block is like between 9 and 12.
Okay.
So I feel like if I was in the gym in that time, then maybe I'd like miss out on that, like,
okay,
really productive period of my day.
So you need to get up at 5 then.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, it does, yeah. Does help.
I mean, anything after 2, definitely 3 in the afternoon, not a good work period. So I'd much rather, like, mid-morning is good for me. But I know, is it Robin Sharma? He talks about, like, working for, like, 5 hours, but working intense and then just stopping, rather than bits here, you get interrupted by phone, get interrupted by your email, you go make a cup of coffee, you get toilet, blah, 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 all that stuff. So he just like works in those focus blocks of time, and like after each block, count that as another win.
Well, Shoni, he's doing that at the moment. He gets up like crazy, like maybe 5, works till 12, and then has the whole afternoon with his baby and his
wife. Does he?
Yeah, so like from 12, he's just with the fam, which looks, I mean, but you have to have a lot of like, you've really got to hold yourself to that. To be like, this is what I'm doing, and I am getting up, and I am going to be working really hard between these hours.
So what are the easiest ways to, I mean, obviously you've got to do the reps, you've got to lift the weights to get a win, but do you think journaling's the be all and end all? Is that the best way? There are other ways. I mean, you just use the notes app, you say?
Yeah, because I find it hard to, I don't know, I've got, like, I had a bit of a mental block with the whole, I don't want to say the M word, but with meditation, because it just felt a bit fluffy, and like I thought it was like, oh, God,
yeah.
But it's not. And I remember the first time I did meditation was at the end of my high-res class, and I was pissing myself laughing.
Right.
I was like, he's like, and you're walking towards a door, and I was like, get a load of this.
Who's
guy.
Doing this? Your trainer?
My PT, yeah.
Fucking
yeah,
hell, yeah. Okay.
And I was like, but he's like, if you can't do the journeying, just do a full body, like focus on your feet, like, I'm being really present right now, like putting all my energy towards my feet, which was how I started. So I think, yeah, so with the journaling thing, I have a bit of a block against it, like picking up a journal before I go to bed. It's just, so I've just started small with 3 wins on my phone, and then I'm going to work up to, I think it's James Smith who says, like, if you've got a block around something, you've just got to, like, what can you do? Like, you can't do the whole journal, or you feel like you can't. What can you do? Okay, do the 3 wins on your phone, and then work your way up. I think his example is, you're scared to ask a girl for a number at the bar.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, so what if you just go up and say, like, hi, like, how are you? And then that's all you're going to do, and then you slowly build yourself up to asking for the number, speaking on a stage, whatever it might be.
That makes sense. I think there is that temptation, or you'd think in the media, all the gurus are saying you just got to jump straight in and you're a fucking loser if you don't journal, meditate, ice bath, fucking whatever. I don't think it is going to work for everyone. But like you say, sometimes break yourself in gently is good. And there'll be some people out there who maybe journaling isn't right for. You know, maybe it is a case of, right, well, I need to write these things on my phone, whatever it might be. Ice baths, no, not a fan of at all. Tried, just gives me a cold every time. And I've got to be honest, it's coming out now, the evidence is fucking sketchy at best. But meditation, don't get me wrong, I used to love it after yoga, where you just lie back for 5 minutes and just think, oh, I just relax, actually talk some shit. I struggle with meditation. But then I don't struggle to switch off. So maybe that's where meditation will be really beneficial for the people who just, they're just always wired. I can put my phone away, not think about work, listen to some music on the sofa, and that's almost like meditation for me.
Yeah.
So I think there is a lot of pressure that you must do meditation and you must do it this way and you must ice bath and you must this. And yeah, starting small and thinking about your why. But I do think everything's easier if you're accountable. If you're doing it, even if like go to the gym, you're doing it with a pal or you've got a PT.
Because Paul holds you accountable with journaling and stuff, doesn't he? Yes. Do you think you'd be as, or maybe you would?
So I saw today in the group, so you submit your, you take a photo of your Sunday roundup, like a roundup of the week, and you've got to take a photo of that double page and put it in the WhatsApp group. And if you don't, you get called out. So 5 people were tagged in the group today saying, still haven't got your return the report, and you're not name shame in a cruel way, but making sure you're accountable, you're paying money, you want certain results, you've got to do the reps, and so that works for me. But I know a lot of people, they know they need accountability but they don't want it, they don't want basically someone telling them what to do. Fucking hate that idea, and I get that too.
I need somebody shouting at me, like even in spin class, if you ever do a spin class and they're like, God, come on. You go quicker than you would if you were on your own.
Yeah. Oh no, I think Emma's done spin a couple of times, but you know, I walk past the spin room, the spin studio, and I'll hear like the girl at the front doing all that, and I see lots of very, very sweaty, unhappy looking men. I'm like, no, that's, yeah, I'd rather be out on my bike.
Yeah.
But journaling, not necessarily going to be for everyone. Small wins, I think they are important. How do you think someone can go about getting a big win, so something that's important to them? So I know you, half marathon, me, say the fan dance or the marathon, some of the results you get for clients. I mean, is it just a case of building yourself up over time? Because obviously, I mean, there must be some people out there who maybe have people who aren't good for their confidence, they're chipping away, you know what I mean?
I think most people do, and I think a lot of people that will be in the form of people who think they're looking out for them, like family, and like kind of holding them back. Are you like, are you sure this is a good idea? Are you sure you want to jump into owning your own business? Is it smart? Is it sensible? Is it safe? You've got a family to provide for. When actually you probably need the opposite of somebody saying, just jump in. I mean, that was me the half marathon. I said I was going to do it. I put it out there. I had to do it.
Make it being accountable to yourself, I suppose, publicly.
And just like positive self, like I'm going to make this work. So I've got to make it work. There's no like half like, oh, we'll aim to get you these results. And we'll get you these results. And now we've got to get them. It's like no messing them. Like, I think even having that is kind of putting those weak words into your vocabulary when you're speaking to people just plays down what you're going to do. So it's like, no, I will get these results for you. There is the guarantee. And then you got to do it. You got like, and you will, I think, when you hold yourself accountable. If you don't like someone shouting at you, or you don't want to have a coach, you've just got to.
I think
you're on the barbecue.
I think you're right. I think if I know I'm doing jiu-jitsu in the evening and I'm feeling tired or whatever, what I'll do is I'll take a photo of my jiu-jitsu gear and I'll post it and tag them on Instagram, so I know I've got to do it really. And yeah, that accountability.
I mean, for me, like, just pay, like, if I pay to go to a class, I'm going. Like, even if I'm having the worst day and I'm tired, like, no, I'm going. I've paid for it now.
I wonder if that will bite, like, these low-budget gyms. Obviously, there's loads of them now, because the amount of money that people pay, it doesn't cause them enough pain to go. So, obviously, they won't get the results they want.
Perhaps.
If you're paying, like, 15 quid a month, are you really fussed about turning up every single week? Well, that's only 15 quid, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that is a big will be a big part of it. But if you're paying a PT 40 quid a week, and like you pay in whether you turn up or not, you're turning up. If that's what's something that you struggle with, maybe that it's like risk versus reward, isn't it?
Is that what your PT charges?
Fucking
hell.
But not for Hyrox, because it's class based.
Blimey.
But I still think he's quite cheap on that.
Oh, really? Mm. Yeah, so someone else who set up like a Hyrox specific studio, so he was like a PT, but I think only does Hyrox now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I know there's a guy we both know who's big into Hyrox, and he used that in loads of his marketing. And I've got to be honest, that's something else about celebrating your wins internally, but also in a nice way. You can use them in your own marketing. Say, look, this is what we've achieved for clients, or, right, you're interested in working with me. This is the kind of person I am. I've done this, I've done that. Like, not bragging, but making people know that you have accomplished some stuff. So, admittedly, getting up, the alarm goes off. That's not marketable, but doing the half marathon is, doing Hyrox, doubling a client's turnover, whatever it might be, that's fucking gold. Because no one really, not that many people talk about wins in their marketing. Like, I was doing a training session this morning online. I was talking about values and about how important it is to like know your values within the team, so it makes it easier when you're recruiting, when you're scoping new suppliers and stuff, but also it underpins what you do and who you are. But on top of that, it's just fucking good marketing for people to see on your website, oh look, these are the values behind these guys. And I guess either they'll identify with that, happy days, they'll be more likely to buy. Or, oh no, they're not my cup of tea. Great, well, that saved us both a lot of time.
And I'd say don't underestimate how nosy people are. Like, they want to know what, you know, who you are, what you do, what you believe in, what you do in your spare time. I mean, I was served, I think it was organically, or someone I knew posted a post on Instagram, oh, thank you for cleaning my carpet, tagged them. And I clicked on it, and I was like, oh no, cleaning looks good. But who are they? Like, who is this person? Mm-hmm. If they're coming in my house to clean my carpet, it's like, what do they... Do they look like I can trust them? What's their story? How have they got into this? Or is it just a man who's got a rug doctor in his clothes?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and the first thing, and I couldn't see anything anywhere.
Wow.
Of the face of the person that I'd be giving my money to.
Yeah, about page is so underestimated. Like, real photos, real reviews, awards, certifications. Basically, all your wins are making that person more likely to pick up the phone.
I'm making you a person.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. It beats me why, with phones these days, why people are still using stock imagery. Some people only use stock imagery. It's like, well, who are you? It's like, I don't know whether it's just to save money or they think an iPhone isn't good enough. But, you know, the about page, generally speaking, is the second highest viewed page on a website. It's that's where decisions will be made. Yet often, ironically, that's the weakest page on a website. I guess it's doing it in a way that isn't just like, look at all these wonderful accomplishments I have. But ultimately, if you're going to give your money to, let's say a PT, you want to know that they're certified, insured. And I've got to be frank, they've got to look the business. I think if you're a really physically fit PT, it's probably an easier sell than maybe if you're an out-of-shape PT. And like, what are your wins? So if your PT has won a Hyrox or he's done a marathon or whatever, that's all marketing brilliance.
And like, I can only speak as for me, but if I was going like for a new PT at a new gym, I just want to know that they weren't weird, like they didn't look like a weirdo. And if there's no photo on there, then I'm probably going to go with the other person that I can see the whites of their eyes.
It's maybe it's just a case of getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. We're always saying you've got to have one foot outside of your comfort zone. And if that is getting in front of the camera, sometimes you just suck it up and do it. And maybe you've got some mindset that's holding you back about, oh, I mustn't talk about my wins because that is bragging, that's not very British. Yes, there are certain ways you can do it wrong, but ultimately, if you hide it all away, the chance of someone getting in touch are only going to be lower.
And then forging an actual relationship with a client or a person where you know what they're doing and you care. Like, you care about... might not be into...
Caring about your client's wins, fucking hell.
A client's going to Everest. Like, I would never do it, but I'm like, that is amazing, and I can't wait to hear about it when they come back.
Fucking hell, Paul's, yeah. He's at about 5,000 metres, I think, now. So it's like, shit. And one guy's had to be airlifted out.
Really?
Yeah, he's got the, high altitude
sickness.
Yeah, so proper, like, proper blood fucked if you didn't get down to the hostel in Kathmandu. Yeah, things are dicey. So yeah, one of the there's five of them. Yeah, so one's gone home.
Can you train for that, for altitude exposure, I guess? Or you just...
I think the highest you can get in this country is so low compared to what you need. So when me and Emma went skiing, I mean, literally 20 years ago, a resort called Val Thorens. It's a little bit well known, but it's high up. And I remember a few people think, oh, blimey, God, it's hard to breathe at this height. And I Googled it this morning. That's 2,300 metres. And like I say, so Paul's hiking up, obviously gradually, but he's now at 5,000 metres. So it's like, shit, getting acclimatised. So you hike, and then you stay there for a day or two to get used to it, and then...
Because it's not a joke, is it? It's like altitude sickness. It's like fever, sweating.
It's death if you don't, if you get it bad, yeah. So, I mean, so for Paul, it's, well, it's a massive, massive achievement. I think, yeah, it'll be out of reach for a lot of people. But to do something like that, and you know that Paul will use it in his marketing afterwards for people to think, shit, this guy has accomplished stuff. He's the kind of guy I want in my corner. Because sometimes I think we can all just play it too safe and coast by. And like you said about the journey and stuff, sometimes you can get out of that habit, and before you know it, fucking hell, it's December, and it's another year of maybe not accomplishing what I wanted to because I wasn't strict enough.
Or forgetting what you've accomplished when you're having... Because it's so easy, and life gets busy, and everybody has a bad day sometimes, and you just so easily forget how far you've come in a year, and it's easy to look back and go, oh God, the shit's flying by, I haven't done anything. Because you're not wiring your brain to remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you're looking at everybody else on social media who's had the best year in business ever, who's...
Mm, yeah, right.
Or, you know, has the perfect house and relationship and children, and you can forget what you've accomplished.
That's true.
Reminding me I've brought a house. How did I forget that? Mm. I'm thinking about the boiler.
Yeah, no, that's so true. I think, like, wiring your brain, doing something daily, whatever works for you, to remind yourself why you do what you do, to always have that, whether it's for your kids, for your partner, so whatever it might be, to have a strong why, but also what you've accomplished that loads of other people will never do. And like you say, you wire your brain to keep remembering those things, so even when the shit really does hit the fan, okay, it's hard, you've got to deal with it, you can't bury your head in the sand, but you know what you're capable of. And when you don't, I think you, your family, your loved ones, the whole world loses out. Oh, that's a deep point to end this podcast on. great to talk to you, Marth. As ever, anyone listening want to know more about Codebreak? If you fancy having Codebreak in your corner, visit codebreak.co.uk. Cheers, Marth.
Good days.